November the 10th at Tournai, I saw the British troops come through the town. The Black Watch came swinging through in all their war kit. Lean, hardy men with a warrior look about them, and knees as brown as the aprons to their kilts. It was fine to see them pouring through the narrow streets.
Sir Philip Gibbs recording the German retreat from Belgium in 1918. Started, the Germans were still on the offensive. But the weight of the American forces under General Pershing, added to the Allied shove, was proving too much. Pershing's victory order in November.
Your deeds will live forever on the most glorious pages of American history. Whether you stand on hostile territory or in the friendly soil of France, you will so bear yourself in discipline, appearance, and respect for all civil rights that you will confirm for all time the pride and love which every American feels for your uniform and for you.
And among the songs, there was one especially for Pershing.
Looking backward through the ages, we can read on history's pages the famous King of God. We are told of great commanders, Wellingtons and Alexanders, and the battles they have won. Take our own great revolution that began our evolution. One kitchen and one history. Today across the sea, they're making history.
The Yankee spirit still remains the same.
Just like Washington across the Delaware, so will Pershing cross the Rhine. As they followed after John and dear old Valley Forge, our boys will rave and line. It's for your land and my land and the sake of all.
In March of 1918, the German offensive began with the Second Battle of the Somme. Paris felt the blast of German guns as they shelled the city from 75 miles away. Soon the Germans were in Armentier, where no doubt they made acquaintance with the celebrated Mademoiselle.
Mademoiselle Clément, rendez-vous. Mademoiselle Clément, save to you. Sing it with all your heart and soul and see everyone right out of the call. Mademoiselle Clément, up in his aeroplane one night when Robinson for the flight, everything all right, beautiful moonlight night, circled around the moon a while, it's wonders to explore, looping the loop above the clouds and wanting to think he saw. Mademoiselle from Armentier's parlez-vous, Mademoiselle from Armentier's time to you. Sing it with all your heart and soul and see everyone light up the pole. Mademoiselle from Armentier.
Here is a remarkable recording of the gas shell attack made by the British Royal Garrison Artillery just outside Lille in October of 1918.
Fire! Fire!
By November the 3rd, it was practically all over. Austria and Hungary signed armistice with the Allies, and on the same day the German fleet mutinied in Kiel Harbor. On November the 9th, Kaiser Wilhelm II abdicated, and on the 11th, the Germans signed the surrender papers in a railway coach at Compiègne. A young naval attaché by the name of Marriott was part of the British delegation, and years later he recalled the scene.
The scene of this historic encounter was the lovely forest of Compiègne, a few miles behind the old front line. We traveled there by special train, which came to a halt in a railway siding originally constructed for heavy guns. On the morning of November the 8th, a second train bearing the Germans ran into another siding parallel with ours. 50 yards away across the forest clearing. French staff officer walked over with a message that Marshal Foch would receive the German delegates at 9 a.m. precisely. At that hour, General Vagon, who was the Marshal's chief of the staff, and I stood at the door of our saloon to receive the Germans. We made a stiff bow and conducted them into the saloon. The French military and British naval officers stood on one side of a long table. The Germans faced us on that grey November morning and listened to the brusque voice of Marshal Foch.
Meanwhile, back in democratic Britain, the record companies were still wallowing in melodramatic recordings to celebrate their victory.
1918, the 11th of November, armistice. Crowds laughing, crowds weeping, crowds praying. Trafalgar Square, Buckingham Palace, Westminster Abbey. If ye break faith with us, who die, we shall not sleep. No poppies grow in Flanders fields.
In the wake of war came worldwide epidemics of influenza, which claimed a grim toll of approximately 20 million lives, some three times more than the total war dead on both sides. In South Africa alone, 140,000 people died of flu. The proclamation of the Irish Republic by Irish MPs, after conscription had been applied in Ireland, plunged the country once again into civil war. Few of the British public paid much heed. The war was over. Time to enjoy the bright lights of the West End, where Gertrude Lawrence was being hailed as a coming star at the Vaudeville Theatre, sharing billing with Walter Williams in a show called Buzz Buzz.
There was something in the way you looked at me.
Walter?
There was something no one else could make me.
You got it all right.
And I knew at first sight that it is the right mind. You never let me see.
You know the reason why, don't you?
No.
I've been waiting for someone like you.
I've been waiting for someone like you. Often I dream, but all the things you see, that dreams would never come true.
I've been waiting for someone like you.
At the movies, D.W. Griffiths produced Hearts of the World, starring Mary Miles Minter and Tom Mix, while Ernest Lubitsch's The Mummy and Charles Chaplin's Shoulder Arms and A Dog's Life graced the flickering screens of 1918. But time had come to talk of peace. The installation of three colour traffic lights, the completion of the Mount Wilson telescope in California, and to listen to the voice of British Member of Parliament J.R. Clines as he spoke of the need to build, now that the world had fought the war that was to end all wars.
The peoples of the world can begin again to breathe in freedom. There is promise of an age in which the nations of the world, both large and small, can look forward to liberties greater than they have ever enjoyed, and look backward upon war as the wicked instrument of a barbarous past. What has happened during the war, together with the causes for which it was fought, and the supreme issues which shaped themselves as the war proceeded, are subjects which statesmen of all parties must now unite in settling for the common welfare of all classes in the country. It is not the war now, but its results, which require earnest attention. The war was won by astounding sacrifices and unparalleled efforts by all classes in the community. Conspicuous among the efforts was the effort of a great army of workers who went to the war, and of an industrial army of men and women who rendered the most essential service at home. Redmond returned from their peace employment and went to the fields of battle, frequently received the highest praises from the greatest military generals for the manner in which, by valor and self-sacrifice, they honored them.
Call Back the Past was devised and presented by Percy Seath and comes to you by courtesy of the Springbok Radio Preservation Society of South Africa.